the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, you know our problems and our weaknesses better than we ourselves. In your love and by your power, help us in our confusion, and in spite of our weakness, make us firm in faith through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please be seated.
A reading from the book of Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I am commanding you today, by loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways, and observing his commandments, decrees, and ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away, and you do not hear, but are led astray to bow down to other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life, so that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and holding fast to him. For that means life to you and length of days, so that you may live in the land that the Lord swore to give to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. The word of the Lord. Let us pray Psalm 1 responsively. Happy are those who have not walked in the counsel of the wicked, nor lingered in the way of sinners, nor sat in the seats of the scornful. They are like trees planted by streams of water, bearing fruit in due season, with leaves that do not wither. Everything they do shall prosper. Therefore the wicked shall not stand upright when judgment comes, nor the sinner in the counsel of the righteous. Amen. A second reading from the letter of St. Paul to Philemon. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and co-worker, to Apphia, our sister, to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. When I remember you in my prayers, I always thank my God because I hear of your love for all the saints and your faith toward the Lord Jesus. I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective when you perceive all the good that you may do for Christ. I have indeed received much joy and encouragement from your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, my brother. For this reason, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do your duty, yet I would rather appeal to you on the basis of love. And I, Paul, do this as an old man, and now also as a prisoner of Christ Jesus. I am appealing to you for my child Onesimus, whose father I have become during my imprisonment. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful both to you and to me. I am sending him, that is my own heart, back to you. I wanted to keep him with me so that he might be of service to me in your place during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I prefer to do nothing without your consent, in order that your good deed might be voluntary and not something forced. Perhaps this is the reason he was separated from you for a while, so that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will repay it. I say nothing about you owing me even your own self. Yes, brother, let me have this benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I am writing to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 14th chapter. Now large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and said to them, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not first sit down and estimate the cost, to see whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it will begin to ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going out to wage war against another king, will not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to oppose the one who comes against him with 20,000. If he cannot, then while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for the terms of peace. So therefore, none of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all your possessions." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated.
Charis bib Irene, grace to you and peace. I am a slave. I have no life of my own. I belong to someone else. My name is Useful, Onesimus in Greek. You just read about me in your second lesson, and I've come to tell you more about myself. In a sense, what I'm saying about myself applies to you as well. And that's why the Bible calls me one of yourselves. I'm a slave. Nothing too unusual about that in this Near Eastern world. Almost one-third of the people were slaves. One group would conquer another, take them as slaves, or offspring would be slaves. People would be so poor, so destitute, so hungry, they would give themselves to others as slaves. And slaves were a commodity to be bought and sold and traded and loaned and inherited. Slaves could be treated harshly with the rod or the knot or the lash. Someone wrote that her greatest desire was to hear slaves being flogged. We had no family. If our father's name was known, it was never mentioned. We were branded, sometimes in the forehead or the wrist, sometimes an awl was pushed through the earlobe and a tag was hung there. It's not easy being a slave. My lot was better than that of many. My master, Philemon, was a kind man. I was good to him. He called me Useful, Onesimus. He made me a house servant, put me in charge of house servants. And I served him well. He had a big house. Many people would come there, especially after a little hook-nosed Jew named Paul came from Antioch. When he came, people would gather. They would talk about Jesus. And they would sing psalms and spiritual songs. I learned to know Paul. I would take his sandals and his robe when he came. But it's not easy being a slave, having no life of one's own. I decided to run away. I thought I could make my way down the Lycus River Valley and then follow the Meander River to Ephesus, get on a ship going to Rome. One night, I got a big bag and took some of my master's valuable things. I knew where they were since I was a house servant. I crept away and did make my way down the river valleys. I traded a lovely silver cup for passage to Rome. And at last, I was in this city I had heard so much about. Well, it was great. No one knew me. I could do what I wanted. I could go when I wanted. Life had never been so good. Eventually, though, the things I had stolen were all gone. I had no money. I couldn't get a job. I was a slave. No one would trust me. I became a street person. A bum, you would call me. And one night, I was shuffling along one of those cobblestone streets when I heard singing. It sounded familiar. I got closer and then inched my way into the house. People were singing songs I had heard at Philemon's house back in Colossae. They were talking about Jesus. And then they mentioned Paul and said Paul was in Rome, a prisoner, a house prisoner in chains, a prisoner of the Roman government. I found out where he was and decided to go to see him. Paul looked so different, you know, thin and old. And of course, I looked different, too. I tried to clean up, but I was a street person. I told Paul who I was, and I told him what I had done, how I had run away from Philemon and had stolen his treasure. And Paul said, I remember you. You are useful, Onesimus. And then he said, one never knows how useful a person can be until God gets hold of that person's life. Then with an earnestness that only Paul could muster, he told me about Jesus. Now, I had heard snatches of this before, but he explained how all sin and fall short of God's glory, are separated from God, how God sent his son Jesus, the Christ, the Savior, the Anointed One, how he came and lived among us and then voluntarily gave his life on the cross to die for our sins, for my sin of running away and stealing, dying for that, only to be raised by God so that I could have newness of life. As Paul spoke, I didn't know it then, but I know now I was convicted by the Holy Spirit. I prayed with Paul. I gave my life to Jesus as my Savior, as my Lord. I was baptized. I was a Christian. Outwardly, things were much of the same, but inwardly, I was a new creature with a satisfaction, a joy I'd never known. And I was Onesimus to Paul. I was useful to him. I brought some food and some parchments and friends. And then one day, I told Paul I had to talk to him. There was something weighing down on me in my conscience and my heart. I told him I would have to go back to Colossae, back to Philemon, tell him what I had done, confess, even though it might mean my death, certainly a cruel punishment, that this was something I'd have to do. And Paul said, well, I understand. Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, said if you have a gift at the altar and you remember something's wrong with your neighbor, go and reconcile with him and then come back. I knew you would have to go. You've been useful to me, and You're almost part of my own heart. I'll miss you so much. But I'll write a letter. I'll write a letter to Philemon in your behalf. And I'll have Tishius, the messenger, take it to him so that Philemon will know it has come from me. That letter, one chapter in length, the only personal letter of Paul in your Bibles, is this book of Philemon. Oh, I remember what Paul said. I'm an old man, he said, and I could command you to do this, but I appeal to you. I appeal to you in behalf of Onesimus, the useful, asking you to accept him as a brother in Christ. And whatever he's taken, I will repay when I come. And I'm coming. Have a guest chamber ready when I come. Well, you don't really know what happened, but the letter did get back there, and so it was picked up by the early church and became a part of the official canon of the Bible that we know. Secular history helps us, though. Some years later, Ignatius, the church father, wrote a letter from where he was to the church at Ephesus, commanding them on having such a noble bishop. He named the bishop Onesimus. Onesimus? The runaway slave? A bishop? An overseer of the church? Well, you can't be sure I was that Onesimus, but if not, somebody thought enough of me to take my name. So this is a story of my life, and as I said, in a sense, a story of your life too. Do not all of us run away from the Master? Run away from God? Don't we steal from him the things that are his and use them for our own selfish ends? Don't we try to hide in some Rome, faraway Rome of our own making, doing our own thing in our own way? How did it all turn out? Well, the way it turned out for me, this isn't the life. We wind up spiritual bums, if you will, empty, discouraged about life and about ourselves. Then the good news breaks upon us. To me, it came through Paul, who talked to me about Jesus. Maybe it came to you through the writings of Paul, or maybe from a teacher or a pastor or a family member or a friend, but somehow, some way, the truth about Jesus came to you. And you, like me, in your heart of hearts, confessed this Jesus as your Savior. Your Lord, you gave your life to him, you were baptized. You are a Christian. And now you go out to be reconciled to all the other people in the world. And you are useful. God using you in his church and in his world. So I am Onesimus, useful, a runaway slave, a bishop, overseer of the church. God, Paul was right when he said, one can never know how useful a person can be until that person gives his life to God. So it is that you and you are also Onesimus, useful. Charis viv perene, ium patres amam curius Iesu Christu. Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.